remember. Again, most of the time there will be nothing up there. There's one quotation I'm going to read, and then this slide that I, in case you're interested, the Bible verses are on the Bible app. I would encourage you to use your printed Bible, but I also recognize the advance of technology. I like my digital Bible very much, but you know, I have re-fallen in love with a printed page. And so get yourself a printed page. But if you want to use your smartphone, you can use the Bible app and go to the live events, and it will probably come up as Three Angels. If you need to put in a zip code, the zip code is 67219. That will bring up our church, and you can click on today's message, and all of the text will be there. Or you can go to our website, threeangels.org, click on events, scroll down the page of events until you come to this weekend, and click on the sermon title, and that will take you to a web page that has the same verses. Now it's going blank, and it'll be blank for a little bit. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for a beautiful song that reminds us that we may not understand it all now, but we will in the future understand. There are difficulties in all of our lives that we would like to have more answers about. Thank you that we can trust you now till the storm passes over and know that in the future things will be made clear that are very unclear now. Father, we also want to open your word now, and we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us. Be with those among us in need, we ask as well. In Jesus' name, amen. The story is found in Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Israel has been traveling through the wilderness. And now they're on the borders of Canaan, the promised land. They are just about to cross the Jordan River, but before they cross, Moses instructs them to gather a group of spies. And there are 12 of them, one from each tribe, and these spies are going to go in and investigate the land of promise before the children of Israel march in to take the land. There's a list, if you care about lists, of the names of each of the members of what do they call it in the military, Jim, when you have a forward and like spy party? A reconnaissance party, thank you. So this reconnaissance party is assembled, the names are there, and they're going to go into this land of Canaan, promised land, promised to Abraham many, many years ago. And now they're about to enter. And so, they go into the land. They complete their reconnaissance. And they return from the land. And we find their return as we look down to verse 26. They departed, came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. The fruit of the land, by the way, included a cluster of grapes that required two men to carry it. These were not the weaklings from Israel. These were the warriors, probably the strong men that went on this recon team. Took two of them to carry this massive bunch of grapes back as testimony to the incredible fruitfulness of the land they were going to enter. So they share their story. And won't you notice what they begin to say? Verse 27. Then they told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It what? Flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit." And they showed the fruit there. And then these words, "Nevertheless, the people who dwell there in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." What's happening? It wasn't a false report. It was absolutely true. The land was filled with good things. It was a land that produced good fruit. It was a land that had Canaanites and Jebusites. It was a land that had the children of Anak there. It was an intimidating land. That was true. the spies, after focusing on the fruitfulness of the land, began to focus on what? The problems that presented them, that they were presented with in taking the land. Caleb speaks up. He quiets the people because what's happened? The rumble's going through the crowd. You can hear it. It's crackling from lip to lip. We can't go in. We're going to die in that land. God's brought us all this way to kill us. That's what they're saying. That's what's going around. And the crowd noise is beginning to rise, and Caleb, as quickly as he can, quiets the people. And he says, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw are in it are a men of great stature. There we saw the giants, descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in their own sight, and so we were in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. The Israelites were standing on the border of Canaan. They were just about to cross the river. In fact, the evidence was on hand that the land was a good land. But when they heard the report, when they heard the spies, the recon team, and their conclusion, the people lost heart. The title today of today's message is Remember. And I imagine that while this is an ancient story, you might resonate with the story more than you realize. Have you ever encountered an obstacle in life? I know that's sort of a silly question. You've seen God working in your life. You come up to a river, some kind of difficult passage. You come to an insurmountable obstacle. And in that moment, all the benefits that God has given you, all the providence He had, it seems like they just fly out the window in the face of the problem, and you say, "There's no way through this challenge." You ever been there? Israel was there. They're there at this moment as Caleb and Joshua are trying to encourage them. And this morning we're going to talk about why they were there. Did they get out of Egypt because they were a great and skilled group of warriors? And now they come to this land and they say, "We're like grasshoppers. We can't conquer them." Had they been in that position before? Had they been delivered? By 10 miraculous miracles, they had walked out of Egypt wealthier than their slave masters. And when they got hungry, it rained food from heaven. Every night, they had a nightlight in the sky. Every day when the hot sun, the hot wilderness sun, Middle Eastern sun would crest the horizon, the cloud would cool them. They had seen miracles. They had walked through a sea. They had seen the walls of water on both sides of them and walked on dry ground. How do you walk on dry ground at the bottom of a sea? It's hard enough cleaning my bathrooms on Friday to walk to step into the bathtub and find it dry, even if the bath was the night before. So how do you walk through a seabed on dry ground? Miracle after miracle, providence after providence, and then they come to the edge of the land and say, "We can't go in. These guys are too big for us. We're like grasshoppers, and they're just going to eat us up." Remember, is the point of today's message. I want you to go with me in your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 15. Numbers, chapter 15. God gave His people special instruction. And the first of these two instructions is in Numbers 15. And we're going to look at verses 37 to 41. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make," what? "Tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put," what? "A blue thread in the corners of those," or in the tassels of the corners. "And you shall have the tassel." That, what's the purpose of the tassels? Just to look like a Jew? No. "That you may look upon it," the tassel with the blue thread, "and do what? Remember." Remember what? "All the commandments of the Lord, and do them." And then here's the reason they needed to remember. "That you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are," what? "Inclined." God knew something about human nature, and that something was the human heart is inclined, as the song says. You might have heard it, "Fill My Cup, Lord," the song. One of the pieces of that song says that my heart is prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. The human heart is prone to wander. And God said, because it's prone to wander, put a tassel in the corners of your garments, and in the tassel put a blue thread so that you would remember the commands I've given you to prevent you from following the inclination of your heart to go after idols. Number one, when we talk about remembering, God instructed His people, and the teaching comes to us to remember what God has taught us. Some people take this teaching, and Israel was meant to take this teaching literally. Today, the teaching is not literal for us, but I do want to say this. God has instructed us to be intentional about remembering what He's taught us. I can tell you from personal experience that I am a quick forgetter. It doesn't take long before I read an old note that I wrote and it seems like I read it for the first time. Because I'm a forgetter. God knows we're forgetters, and so He told His people, be proactive, intentional about remembering what I've taught you. The second thing God instructed them to remember is in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Right before the book of Joshua, Deuteronomy chapter 7, Moses is recounting to them, this is a book entitled The Second Law, and it is a recount by Moses of God's teaching to His people, Deuteronomy 7, and beginning in verse 17. And the first verse we're reading is the verse with the reason for the following instruction. If you should say in your heart, have you heard this before? These nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? See, God was sending His people into the land of Canaan. Second time. This is round two. They were going to go into the land of Canaan, and God had instructed them to claim the land that God had given them. And so the instruction is, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? Verse 18, you shall not be what? Not be afraid of them, but you shall do what? This is remember number two this morning. You shall remember well what the Lord your God did to who? Pharaoh, and to all of Egypt. The great trials which your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand and outstretched arm, by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall you your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Was that true the second time as much as the first time? Yes. But because Israel forgot the miracles in Egypt, Because they forgot the parting of the Red Sea. Because they forgot the manna. Because they forgot the pillar of fire. On the borders of the promised land, they were turned back because they forgot. And when they saw the enemy or heard about the enemy, it was enough to cause fear and terror in their hearts that defeated their faith. I would propose to you this morning that when you and I face similar overwhelming obstacles to faith, if we heed the Bible's teaching on these two points, we will come through just fine. Number one, remember what God has taught you. As you and I take the Christian journey, God brings to our attention just what we need for the moment and for the future. Do something in your life to take note of that. Maybe you need to put a big chalkboard in your room. And just write a quick statement of the things, or just a verse. This is what God's taught me. Maybe you need to get an Evernote account. That's on your smartphone or your tablet or your computer. And when you're having your devotions, just make a quick note. This is what I do that. Maybe you need to get a rock pile and put a verse on the rock. Put it in your pile. So when you forget, you can pick up a rock and look at the verse. Do something that will remind you what God has taught you, and I don't care what that is. Maybe you need to go ahead and tie that string in your garment. That's fine with me. Whatever it is, do something to remember what God has taught you so when you face the crisis, you're easily called back to the lessons you've already learned. Number two, do you think the Israelites really forgot that the pillar of cloud was above them? Do you think they really forgot that the manna they had eaten that morning was from God? Yes and no. No, they did not forget the incident. But they forgot that it was a miraculous provision. And I would contend this morning that it's not enough to remember what God does in your life, but to remember that God did it in your life. Does that make sense this morning? In other words, our minds have this unique capacity to tarnish the memories of God's providence. Just think back over your life. Think of an occasion where God came through for you in a miraculous way. And at the moment, as you think of that, at the moment you can remember you were struck with how powerful God's providence was. But as you think of it today, I almost guarantee you that that memory is tarnished. That how you feel about that event today is distinctly different from how you felt about it at the moment. Because our minds have this mysterious eraser that remembers the event but erases the miraculous. You see, Israel, it's not that they didn't forget they had come out of Egypt. It's not that they forgot that they had manna, that they walked through the Red Sea. It's that they began to see those events as merely events and perhaps simple coincidence. When a divine providence in your life is remembered as only an event or a coincidence, it loses its power to inspire your faith. Unless God remains at the middle of that moment, you can find no strength from it in the future. Yes, God may have protected you in an accident. But if your memory of that accident becomes only a memory of, I made it, then that memory has no power to strengthen your faith now. Because your faith now is not in need of remembering that you didn't get killed in the accident. It's in need of remembering that God saved your life in the accident. That is the only part of that memory that will actually give you courage to walk into the land of the giants. That's the part of the memory that will actually give you the courage to walk through the river. It's not the event. It's the reason behind the event. And when Israel was forgetful, it wasn't that they forgot the event so much as they forgot the reason behind the event. And thus, in the moment, they did not have the courage to trust the person who had precipitated those events. That's the heart of remembering the miraculous providence. Number one, remember what God has taught you. Number two, let us remember the miraculous divine hand as evidenced by God's different interventions in our lives. I want you to consider with me the one statement that I have on the screen. You might recognize this statement. Either because we read it in Scripture or because you've read it before. In reviewing our past history, having traveled over every step of advance to our present standing, I can say, praise God. As I see what God has wrought, I am filled with astonishment and with confidence in Christ as a leader. Notice the emphasis. As I see what God has wrought. In other words, it's not a recounting of events. It's a recounting of God's working that matters. I am filled with astonishment and confidence with in Christ as our leader. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and His teaching in our past history. Again, this biblical concept is remembering the providential hand of God and its evidence in our lives. And remembering His teaching. Those two things. Remember, number one, His teaching. Number two, His providential intervention. Remembering God's visible hand in your life. Go with me in your Bibles. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. I want you to look with me at Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a what? A homeland. They're looking forward to something coming. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to what? Return. What do you call it when the Bible says, if they had called to mind? What do you call, what word, one word is that? Remember. But I thought the Bible just told us we're supposed to remember what He taught us and remember. I thought the Bible just talked about remembering. And here the Bible says, if we remember, if they had remembered, they would have had opportunity to go back. What's going on in the text? Let's connect it back to the story. If you want to go, you can go back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, verse 5. Because we've talked about two important pieces of remembering, two commands to remember that God has given us that will give us courage in the moment to stay faithful to God. And now we're confronting an instruction that says there are certain things that if we remember them, they will sabotage our faith. Numbers 11, verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We what? We remember. In this case, remembering cost them dearly. We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing to eat at all except this manna before our eyes. Fascinating. To prevent us from going after idols, to following the way of our human hearts, to prevent us from being overwhelmed by obstacles, God said, remember. Remember what I've taught you. Remember the miracle of my hand's presence in your life. But then in this case, the Bible says that the memories of Egypt became the downfall for Israel. We're talking about remembering this morning, but we need to be careful what we remember. When we continue to idolize the Egypt that we left, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that we're going to walk right back to that Egypt. When we idolize the Egypt we left, it will call our hearts back. You see, there is a liability to remembering. And that liability is if we remember what we left to follow the deliverer. And the contrast to that is if we forget the deliverer, we'll lose faith in the face of trouble. Go with me as we wrap up this morning to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Because we're talking this morning about remembering. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1. Finally, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I did what? I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish that I may what? Gain Christ. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, the next three verses are critical. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I do what? I press on that I may take hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or achieved. But one thing I do, and what does he say? Forgetting. What was Paul forgetting? What past was Paul forgetting? Philippians chapter 3, the first part. He was forgetting his greatness as a Pharisee. He was forgetting. Let's see. It says right there. There it is. He was forgetting his lineage. He was forgetting his position. He was forgetting his righteousness by the law. Because he knew that if he remembered those things, they would do what? Take him right back where he came from. But in exchange for those things, he kept his eyes fixed where? On Jesus. You see, as believers, God has called us to remember. What does He call us to remember? What did you say? Okay, that's right. To remember what He's done, someone said. Remember what He's done, and secondly, remember what? What He's taught us. And in the process, to practice forgetting. Forget what we left to follow Jesus. And remember the providence by which He's taken us this far. Because if we remember the good things that we've left behind, we're likely to give up. If we remember the God who came in and delivered us, we'll stay strong to the end. If we remember the land from which we came, we're likely to go back. But if we remember the land to which we're going, we're likely to one day be there. If we forgive the truths that God has taught us along the way, we're likely to lose our place in the storm. But if we remember those truths, we'll have a light in the storm to guide us home. I want to challenge you this morning to think about how you can remember what God has taught you. What can you put in practice in your life so that the things that God teaches you on a daily basis don't simply become some undefinable piece of your past history, but can remain at your fingertips, can remain fresh? And secondly, I would invite you to go back over your life and re-remember the divine hand at work. Not so much because of the event, but because you saw the fingerprints of God in your life. And do something to remember the fingerprints of God in your life so that when you face the next crisis, your mind will go not to the size of the enemy, but to the size of the God who's brought you there. The size of the God who's brought you out of trouble before. And in the process of remembering, I would invite you to practice forgetting. Forgetting the things that you walked away from and looking forward to the one you're walking towards. Let us pray. Father, what a challenge from Scripture this morning. We saw in the life of Israel the cost of forgetting and the cost of remembering. We can look at our own lives and see the cost of forgetting and the cost of remembering. We ask you today to help us to realign our thinking, that we might become better rememberers of what you teach us, that we might become better at remembering your providential hand in our lives, that the events in which you're engaged would not become merely a memory of events, but would become a memory of divine fingerprints. And that finally you would help us to fix our eyes on Jesus and learn to be good forgetters, forgetting those things we walked away from to follow Jesus, remembering His work and teaching in our lives, that we might with a whole heart fix our eyes on eternal success. In Jesus' name, amen.